And joining me right now here on the phone line, this guy does a great job covering the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we got to recap what they did in the draft this past weekend. He's a good friend, John Ferry with Sports Now. John, how you doing today?
Doing great. Another draft is behind us, Mark. And some interesting picks by Trent Baalke and the Jags. Some I liked, some I didn't. But overall, I thought it was good, but it could have been better, in my opinion.
My question for you is, how many players did they take from LSU? Was it the whole team outside of the quarterback? What happened?
Well, we're known as LSU East in Duval County now. Three players were the amount that was taken, two defensive tackles, which caught me off guard. Brian Taylor Jr. did not. There was a lot of talk that that might be the pick, the receiver for the Jags, but the two defensive tackles, Mason Smith and Jordan Jefferson, I didn't see either, even though both have potential. I would have preferred they traded up in the second round, Mark, on Friday night, and gotten one of those premier corners. First round, I thought they could have gotten at 17 Jared Verse or Dallas Turner, a couple of elite pass rushers in this draft. They had a chance. I realized they dropped back to 23, got three draft picks in addition to getting the wide receiver, but I would have been really tempted to take Dallas Turner at that spot, and Minnesota traded up and got him, the pass rushing linebacker from Alabama. Overall, I would give this draft a B minus. I do like getting the receiver, but with the opportunity the Jags had with other guys that were there, I would have waited, honestly, till the second round to go receiver. And I would have taken one of those defensive guys I just mentioned.
It's interesting you say that, because you just gave Josh Allen the big contract. And you still have Trayvon Walker, who was the number one pick. But I could see in your voice, I can hear it, you want more. You don't think that's good enough for this D-line.
I don't, because other than Trayvon Walker and Josh Allen, there's no other pass rushers on the Jaguars roster. So if one of those guys gets hurt, you're obviously hoping they don't. But if one of those guys gets hurt, you basically have nothing behind them. And I just think with the opportunity to get a Jared Verse or a Dallas Turner, that was too good to turn down, in my opinion, just because it dropped right into their lap. And I just think there was a deeper pool of receivers in the draft, meaning you could have gone in the second or third round and gotten a receiver. You're not going to get an elite pass rusher in the second and third round normally. So that's why, if it had been me, I would have gone that direction with the opportunity that was presented in front of them on Thursday night.
That's a good way of looking at it. Okay, now I'm feeling it. They do take the wide receiver from LSU. What is it, Thomas Jr.? Led FBS with touchdown catches last year. He was in that high-powered offense. Is this one of those things where, all right, we have high expectations for him taking over for someone? Like, how do you look at this for the fall with Trevor Lawrence as his QB?
I definitely think there's high expectations. Anytime you're taking a receiver in the first round, Mark, in my opinion, even if it's in the bottom of the first round, which is where the Jags took Thomas, he better be elite. And the Jags have not had a good history of taking receivers in the first round, i.e. Justin Blackmon from years ago. Now, that was a top 10 pick. But, yeah, this guy's going to be your number one receiver, at least on paper. Now, might take a year, but I think that's the expectation coming into training camp, that he's going to be the one that will take the top off opposing defenses. You talked about he led the FBS in touchdowns last year with 17, and I think his average reception was 17.3 yards per reception. So there's some great numbers on Thomas, and I think he could be a great player. But, yeah, the expectation is for him to be elite. There's no question about that.
All right, I think this got lost in the shuffle. We're here with John Ferry talking Jaguars football. Did they pick up the option on Lawrence and ETN for the fifth year now?
They did. They didn't pick that up till a couple of days after the draft, but, yes, they did on both. So both are contractually obligated to the Jaguars through the 2025 season is what that means now. They were both first-round draft picks. Everybody knows Trevor Lawrence was, but ETN was drafted in the bottom of the first round that year back in 2021.
Hmm.
I think it's a good thing the Jags picked him up, to be honest, Mark. That guarantees you have them for those 2 years. With Trevor specifically, that gives you that time to negotiate a long-term deal that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And I like securing ETN as well, because he's been a valuable offensive weapon on this team. And I know running backs aren't valued as high as they were maybe even 10 years ago, but I still think that was a good deal for the Jags to pick up the fifth-year options on both.
It's fascinating to talk about, because Lawrence, you'd think, well, I want a big contract. I'm a franchise quarterback. I want the long-term deal now. Now you have him for 2 straight years. You don't have to pay him a big deal. Is this smart for the Jaguars to make sure they don't have to give him the big contract?
I think it's great business. Absolutely, I think it's smart. I would still prefer to make him show me more this year before, if I were the Jaguar management, giving him the big contract, just because of the stuff we've talked about before. He had too many turnovers last year, and overall he's had too many. I know injuries contributed to it, but still, I want to see more out of Trevor Lawrence before I give him a mega contract, because there are stories out there that his extension might not be quite to Patrick Mahomes, but it's going to be close, and it's going to be above everybody else currently in the league. I need to see more before I'm willing to go in that deep, Mark, myself. And now that you have the 2 years and the time to do it, my thing is make him show you this year. Make him, you know, get up to another status, that elite status, before you give him that big contract.
If he does, hypothetically, if he does have a big year, do you then pay him the big contract?
Absolutely. I think the Jags would have no choice in that situation. And that's what you want, by the way. You want him, just like Josh Allen did last year, you want to make the Jags have to pay him the big contract, because that means he had elite play on the field. And that is what you want. I mean, you have to pay for elite quarterbacks, but what you don't want to do is pay him elite quarterback money, and then he has a year that's not very good or so-so, or maybe has only 18 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. And I'm not saying that's the way it's going to go down, but that's the reason I play it out. Make him show me what he's got. Basically, make him force us to pay him, if that makes any sense. That's where I would be if I were the Jaguar management in April of 2024 with Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, the Jaguars have said ETN's our guy at the running back position. Lawrence, he's here for another 2 years under contract. We'll see what happens. So tell me the depth chart at wide receiver then, especially you just brought in this number one pick.
Well, obviously, Brian Thomas Jr. right up on top there. Christian Kirk and Zay Jones, I'd say 2 and 3, both coming back. Maybe you could argue Gabe Davis is 3 over Zay Jones. I think that's going to be a battle in training camp, since they did sign Gabe Davis in free agency. But those are the top 4 coming in. And then I think there's a battle for the 5th spot. Parker Washington, who was a 6th-round draft pick, I think he's going to have to earn playing time. And interesting side note, Jarvis Landry, who retired last year, played with the Cleveland Browns, was a 5-time Pro Bowler, is trying to make a comeback and is going to participate in Jaguar rookie minicamp next week. That would be a big-time bonus if Jarvis Landry could give the Jaguars anything at wide receiver. So I throw him in the mix as the wild card. I'm not accounting for him, but if he can get anywhere near what he had previously, he's got a good chance to make this team as well.
Are you going to rookie minicamp?
Absolutely.
Man,
you know me. I'm the wild man, as you call me. And in this case, I don't even have to travel that far. So, absolutely, I intend to be there.
Do you get a lot of access as a media member for that?
You get some. I don't know if I'd say a lot, but you do get to meet the rookies and speak with them, and that's really the reason to go, to be honest, because you're not going to see a lot on the field. They're not in pads, so you're not going to really get anything meaningful out of that. It's more just to meet these rookies, get a feel of their personalities, and that's really the significance of it, at least from my perspective.
You look at the NFL draft, and we're here with John Ferry Sports Now. Ricky Pearsaw, someone you and me have met, played for the Gators. He goes to San Francisco. Late first round. What did you think of that pick for the Niners?
I was shocked. I'm very happy for Ricky Pearsaw, first of all. I think he's going to be a very good NFL player, but first round, I don't know if I would have gone there. I was really – now, it was late first round. It was the next to last pick in the first round, but still – I was shocked he came off the board. I kind of joked. I said, well, Billy Napier's finally got a first-round draft pick. We had been waiting for that for 2 years. But having said that, I think he will be a very good fit in Kyle Shanahan's system out in San Francisco. But I thought Pearsall might be available when the Jags picked in the second round at number 48. And he went 31 in the draft. So he went 17 spots higher than I anticipated, because my thinking going in was the Jags could get the corner or defensive guy in the first round and get that wide receiver in the second. One of the receivers I had in my mind they could possibly get, Mark, was Ricky Pearsall. So I was really surprised. In fact, Pearsall went ahead of Keon Coleman out of Florida State, and I thought Coleman would go ahead of Pearsall in this draft.
Well, that's not what happened. That's actually what happened, where Pearsall. Look, I like him as well. I do. I did not see him as a first-round draft pick, but it happened. Hey, we'll wish him luck, and Coleman as well, and I think that's a good pick for Buffalo. I didn't like Buffalo trading down in the first round with Kansas City, their rival, who keeps beating them in the playoffs, so then Kansas City can go take a great wide receiver. What'd you think of that?
I didn't like it either, and I had to laugh. I was watching ESPN's coverage when that went down. Mike Greenberg was the host, and he basically questioned it. He said, I don't understand, why does Buffalo keep giving Kansas City ammunition? Because Buffalo's the one that traded with Kansas City years ago, for those that forgot, that allowed Kansas City to move up and get some guy named Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
And now they've allowed them to go up and get a – elite fast wide receiver, Xavier Worthy, who had a 4.21 in the 40 at the combine. So I'm with you. I don't know why Buffalo would do that, especially with Kansas City, the team that everybody's chasing. And that just helped them stay on top, in my opinion, because I think that's an excellent pick for Kansas City and Mahomes and that offense.
Well, you're John Ferry. All right, then, we haven't talked. What did you think of Atlanta at 8 when they took Michael Penix Jr.?
I didn't like that at all. That was the shock of the draft to me, the biggest shock overall. What I don't understand is, why would you give Kirk Cousins all this money in the offseason, have a top 10 pick, turn around and draft a player that is not going to help you on the field for at least 2 to 3 years if you take the management at their word? That makes no sense to me, Mark. If you were going to do that, you knew you had the 8th pick in the draft before you even signed Cousins. Why not just target one of these quarterbacks and just play the young quarterback from the get-go instead of putting all the money in Kirk Cousins, who, by the way, is coming off an Achilles injury, yet they still paid him all that money. So if you're going to do that, I would have rather gotten a weapon to help him be successful, since you've already invested all the capital in him. So I didn't get that one at all.
Why not trade down and then take Penix Jr. and get more picks? No one else was going to take him that high. So, dude, you're right. The draft started when they took Penix Jr. That's when, because did it feel like it was all chalk? It was all, we knew what was going to happen before Atlanta went up to the pick.
It sure did. It was anticlimactic until we got to number 8. Because, yeah, you nailed it. It went basically chalk all the way down. I thought the Giants would trade and go after J.J. McCarthy. I couldn't have been more wrong on that. They stayed pat, took Malik Nabers, who's going to be, I think, a great player, but that surprised me that they elected to stick with Daniel Jones at quarterback for another year. So it didn't really start getting shaken up until number eight, and that goes back to that allowed the Jags an opportunity to get one of those elite defensive players I brought up in the beginning, and the Jags elected not to go that route, but the Falcons certainly shook up the draft last Thursday night in the first round.
All right, let's go over this real quick. So the LSU offense from last fall, they destroyed the Gators in that one game where Jaden Daniels, what did he have, like 600 yards total offense? It was something like that. He's still scoring on the Gators. Did everyone in that offensive scheme get drafted over the weekend, especially after what they did against the Gators? Come on.
I think a lot of it was based on that game. And I think, by the way, as painful as it is for me to say, I think Jaden Daniels had over 700 yards of offense in that game. But, yeah, I think that game obviously sealed the Heisman Trophy for him last year, too. That was the one. And I think that did help, including Thomas in Jacksonville from LSU with the Jaguars at wide receiver, Malik Nabers. That helped a lot of them. Now, on the flip side, what's strange about the draft from the Jaguar perspective, the LSU defense struggled last year, yet the Jags elected to go get two defensive tackles from that defense. Now, it's not on those two individuals specifically overall, but I still was really surprised they went and doubled down with two defenders from an LSU defense that did not have a very good year on the field last season.
All right, I need you to know this. So when Penix got picked, the whole draft party I'm at, everyone's like, what? Like, the whole place is in shock. And my first response was, my Bears, get up there and take Rome Odunze. Don't even think about it. They're this stupid team, Atlanta, who I thought they were going to take Rome Odunze at number eight because that would have been the smart thing to do for Kirk Cousins, like you're saying. I said, get up there and make that pick. And they did. And it was so shocking that it actually worked out for my Bears. What do you think about what the Bears did where they got Caleb Williams and then Rome Odunze?
I think the Bears are smelling like a rose. I know you're elated. I think all of Bears Nation is ecstatic. I couldn't agree more with you, Mark. And I would have done the very exact thing they did. And it played out perfectly for the Bears. I thought that was another spot. I talked about this on your show and on mine last week where the Jags might try to trade up and get to that ninth spot with the Bears. And we talked about what would it take for the Jags to do it. And obviously, I think it was the price was too high, and that's why the Jags probably didn't even consider doing it. But from the Bears' perspective, it's a beautiful thing. I think offensively, a lot of excitement in the Windy City right now with Odunze and Caleb Williams at quarterback. I can't wait to see what they're going to do this season.
Who's your number one wide receiver? Because you have, I can't believe I'm asking this question. You have Rome Odunze hasn't played, but he's a rookie. He's big. Then you have Keenan Allen, and you have DJ Moore. Who's the number one wide receiver then?
I think going in, I would say DJ Moore. I think Odunze is going to pass him, but I think going into the beginning of the season before we see Odunze at the next level, I would say DJ Moore, in my opinion, would be their number one. But it's a great situation to be in if you're Matt Eberflus and the Bear management to have that question, because I think all three of those guys are going to be really good.
The Panthers still owe the Bears a second-round pick next year from that trade. Just think about that.
Unbelievable. I think the Bears management should be in jail for a highway robbery. I mean, how they got pulled that deal off a year ago and the way it looks right now. Now, Bryce Young could still be a good player, and he wasn't dealt a great hand in Carolina, but, boy, it looks like the Bears are going to be the really big winners on that trade.
I think you have to give him a pass because it's just like Trevor Lawrence where the coaching staff was a joke and they didn't even finish the season. It's the same thing, right, as what happened to Lawrence.
I think you're right. I would agree with that. It's except that I think Lawrence's situation might have even been worse with one Urban Meyer and his theatrics away from the field. But, yeah, it's a good analogy. I would give Bryce Young a pass.
I think, and I could be wrong, I think Urban Meyer lasted longer, even though he didn't finish the season, than that Carolina coaching staff last year.
I think you're correct, which is really amazing. That's sad.
It's beyond sad. It is. We'll end with this with John Ferry of Sports Now. We had 6 quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. What does that say about the NFL?
They are quarterback desperate. It's a pass-happy league, and you better have one. And teams are willing to take chances like the Atlanta Falcons did to assure that you have one. And the Broncos taking Bo Nix at 12. While I thought the Broncos might take him, I didn't know if it would be at 12, but they did. And, you've got to have a quarterback. That's what it's all about, first and foremost. If you do not, you basically have nothing, as they say.
That's why, like, for 25, if you're on the fence, like, oh, should I go to the draft? Yeah, go. Yeah. Especially if you're wide receiver, quarterback, offensive lineman, yeah, go to the draft. You're going to, yeah, they're going to pick you. John Ferry, Sports Now. My man, thanks for your help and have a great day.
Mark, always a pleasure to be on. And before you know it, we will be talking training camp. I know that's about 3 months away, but it's going to get here fast.